porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Is that it?
Read 11:2.
11:2?
No. Read John 3:11.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
Father, Pastor Cook, would you pray over me? Some of y'all in here, I'm talking to my youth group tonight. We are sitting back and waiting. There's a field of division between us. We are sitting back and waiting instead of ministering to people. We are worried about our differences. We need to put our differences aside, and I feel the Holy Ghost. Sorry, buddy, because if I go in the past 5 minutes, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. There's a Holy Ghost. If you have it in you, there shouldn't be a field of division. There's a world that needs Play Simple Youth Group. Our worship team worked very hard to reach this world. And we need to start working with them, alongside them, and winning souls. There's a field of carnalness, I believe. Brother Chris, I'm stepping on toes, so if you get mad at me, come to me after church. but there's a physical carnalness right now in my youth group, and I command it to leave. I gotta kiss my boy. Mike, I didn't come here to sit in dead youth service. I see people talking on their phones, and we need to learn to put our phones away. I don't even bring my watch when we're in youth service, because I don't want it by my. So you shouldn't even bring your phone when we're in to prepare messages, and we should pay attention why he preached. There's no reason why this world should die lost when there's a youth group that can with hope. We go to the youth rallies, but I never see y'all. I barely even see your faithful body. So it's always Brother Chris. We need to be up there with him. Wins those. And I'll make a vow. This of just hear me. I will win so as this arch behind me. And I will with those. I will with those at the other churches we go to and make a vow. And I'm sorry, Brother Chris, but I feel the bonus of the Holy Ghost. If the rest of my time, if you are in my youth group, and if you don't care to come up here with me, we have a group of prayer real quick.
That you would bind us together. Lord, let our minds to be focused on lost souls. Lord, of those hurting and wounded people that need to hear the gospel, the saving power of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would use us to help win this city. Shake us, O God, and let us to know that you desire us to work for the kingdom of God. Lord, let us to stop working against one another and work together to win just one more soul for the kingdom of God. Lord, so that you would be glorified, so that you would be lifted up, God, so that your name would be lifted high in all the earth. All bless and move and speak, God. Bless you, God, speak. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for this vessel, Lord, for this willing soul, God.
I don't give me 2 more minutes.
All right.
You can be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's a harvest of souls waiting. There's kids that coming off that bus on Wednesdays that doesn't even know God. And I don't see y'all going up to them and praying them through to God. I come against this youth group for that. And y'all need to do better. And I'm done.
Amen. We're so thankful for Brother Gage. So thankful for the Osborne family. Amen. I am so glad. So glad God sent y'all here. Amen. We need y'all. Praise Temple needs the Osborne family. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gage, for being obedient. Amen. Did y'all hear him? All right. So I don't have to say nothing then, right? All right. You know, it's different when all you're able to do is sit and watch. You're able to see things that other people aren't able to see. Amen. And Brother Gage has been watching and he's been observing. Amen. And we ought to heed the words of the preacher this evening. Amen. Thank you again, Brother Gage, for being obedient. Amen. I believe we have the best youth group in all the world. I do. I believe we have the best young people. Amen. They love ministry. They love working for the kingdom of God. Amen. And they have a sign song. We want the youth sign team to come. Amen. Minister to us in sign today.
Thank you.
Why don't we worship together? Focusing the last few weeks in class and focusing our teaching towards, you know, when you think about the children of Israel, when they crossed over and they got to Jericho, they spent 6 days walking around the walls. And they were instructed not to say a word until the seventh day. And I love the shout. I love the voice of the trumpet. I love all of that. And that's when things happen. But I believe what gives power to the shout, to the voice of the trumpet, is our consistent walk for 6 days before. And we're teaching our young folks how to be consistent, how to consistently walk through the ups and through the downs, through the ins and through the outs. You consistently serve God, even when we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We just throw our head back and we get our nose in the book and we keep on serving God one more day, one day at a time. Amen. Because sooner or later the voice of the trumpet's going to sound. And when it comes time for that, we're going to be ready to shout and we're going to be ready to lead this old world. Amen. But we want to be consistent in our serving for God so that His name would be lifted up in all the earth. Amen. So thankful. Amen. For Praise Temple Apostolic Church, I want to say from the depths of my heart, thank you for supporting the youth group of this assembly. Thank you for every amen. Thank you for every pat on the back. Thank you for every time you say you've done the best you've ever done, that there is no better in all the world. It means the world to us. Thank you so much for your support. Amen. To Brother and Sister Cook, the best pastor in all the world, pastor's wife, thank you for supporting us, for pushing us. Amen. And thank you on behalf of Sister Kelsey and I for entrusting us with the most precious thing that y'all have. Thank you for allowing us to push them. Amen. Because I see the potential that God has for them and what God wants to do with them. Amen. Tonight it's time now for the main event. It's time now for the Word of God. Amen. And it's my honor this evening to bring to the pulpit a man of God. He is one of the best men that you will ever meet in all the world. He's one of the most humble, one of the meekest. He is the definition of a servant, not just to his pastor, but a servant to the kingdom of God. Amen. He is a prayer warrior. Amen. And I tell the young folks all the time, if you need somebody to look up to, if you need somebody to fashion your life after, you just fasten your eyes on this man of God. I want Brother Jones, if he would. Amen. We love Brother Andy Jones so much. We love the Jones family. Appreciate them, all the investment that they've given into the young folks. Amen. We want him to preach. Amen. I give you, Brother Reverend Andy Jones in the Lord. Brother, come preach to us today.
Humbled by the Spirit of the Lord that's here tonight. God is doing great things here tonight. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful worship. What a beautiful 5 minutes of fire. Thank you, Brother Gage. What a wonderful admonition to our young people. Very important. Praise the Lord. And then our sign team and just every portion of the service. I'm thankful that God has chosen to meet us here. He didn't have to. He just said, I'm in here. I'm there. That's what I want to be. I want to be there for him. I want to just participate in what he's doing. You know, I don't have, as a minister, as a preacher, I don't have to make something happen. I just have to let him and cooperate with what the Spirit is already trying to do in this place. Because he's here. He knows exactly who he wants to touch. There's hearts and minds here today that need a touch, that need a word of God that can be applied to their life. And I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful for his presence here today. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to the book, praise the Lord, of John chapter 12. And I apologize, I did not get with the media team. But John chapter 12. Starting in verse 35. The book of John 12 and 35. The scripture says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. This is Jesus speaking unto us today. Would you raise your hands just for a moment and let's just ask God to just have his way in the rest of this service. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We bless you, God. Give us ears to hear, God, and anoint these lips of clay, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would just have your way, Lord. Oh God, minister unto us, Lord Jesus. God, Lord, help me not to stand in the way of what you're going to do here tonight. God, we thank you for what you've already done here, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We're agreeing with you, Lord, and your word, Lord, planted in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I give honor to Brother Chris Cook. Appreciate my friend. I give honor to my pastor. Give honor to the youth group. What a great youth group we have here at Praise Simple. And it's not just because my daughter's in it. But I'm thankful that she is, that she has a place where she can grow in her faith. She can grow in her walk with the Lord, with other young people who love God and want to grow in him. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was a kid, long, long, long time ago, praise the Lord, in my youth group, you know, there were some that did have a desire for the Lord. There were those that loved the Lord, that wanted to get in the Holy Ghost, that wanted to seek and to pray, and just had a great desire for greater things. But there's always someone who doesn't. And if we're not careful, and Brother Gage, he preached it, you know, we can be drawn away by different things. And we can kind of get the glitz of the world in our eyes, thinking about what it would be like when I'm a little bit older. There's always that desire, just a little bit older, and I'm going to have this, or I'm going to get to do that. But can I tell you tonight that the greatest thing you can ever do is live for God with all your heart, young person. Don't waste a day out in sin. Don't waste a day looking to the things of this world. Because I can testify today that they have nothing for you but discouragement, but pain, but the wickedness of this world that will rob you, that will steal from you. This is your joy. This is your hope. Buy the truth today and sell it not. Hallelujah. You are God's. You belong to Him. You have a greater value than you ever realized today. Hallelujah. Here, Jesus said unto them, you've got light. Walk while you have the light. You know, there is a day that is coming where I believe that the church is going to be caught up. I don't want to live in darkness. I don't want to face a world without the presence of the Lord here in a powerful way. You need the church. You need your youth group. So you need to walk in the light while you have it. Hallelujah. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You ever been lost before? Have you ever got in the woods or out of driving the roads and you didn't know where you were at? I know the thing, like the younger they are, the more common it can happen, right? Maybe if we've got some young ones, 6, 7-year-old, have you ever got in the mall and you thought you followed your dad to the left, but you went to the right, you saw somebody else, turned out not to be dad or mom, and then you looked around, where are they at? Instantly, suddenly, you've got that anxiety that comes over you. Where are they at? That's important because you belong with your parents. You belong in the safety of knowing where you belong, knowing where you are safe today. And Jesus says you're not supposed to walk in darkness. You're not supposed to not know where you're going. You're not supposed to be lost in wandering in this world. But let me tell you, you need to look for the light. That's where you need to walk, young person. You need to look where it pleases the Lord. And that's where you need to walk and desire your life to go forth. Hallelujah. I don't like to be lost. I don't like to not know where I'm at. I like to know, I've got an idea in my mind where I'm going. And I want to be on that path. I don't want to waste time wandering in the darkness today. Because God has something better for us. And it's to walk in the light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Kings, we read of a familiar story in chapter 22, starting in verse 10. It's going to bounce around a little bit in this chapter. But we read the story of Josiah. Now, I understand that a lot of times when we have youth services and different things, we love to talk about Josiah, right? Because at the early age of only 8 years old, he became king. And that is a remarkable thing. But it wasn't that the fact that he started at a young age, but it's what he did when he didn't know where to go. Can I tell you, he didn't really have a direction until one day. The scripture says, and Shaphan the scribe in verse 10 showed the king saying, Hilkiah, the priests have delivered me a book. Praise the Lord for a book. Hallelujah. Brother Kevin, I don't have to walk in darkness. Because he has called me into his marvelous light. I may not have the answer, but I know where I can find it. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell any of your parents. They don't know everything. I think sometimes young people just look to their parents and they think, well, surely they know it all. And so they don't make mistakes. But then when they get to the age of the teenagers, then they don't know anything, Brother Chris. Just wait. But we don't always know everything. But your parents, your pastor, the ministry, your youth pastor knows where the answers are.
That's right.
Can I tell you? We have enough knowledge that we know something. And we've got a few things that I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about not being ignorant. The scripture says over and over again, be not ignorant. Now, before I get into that, let me just explain what I mean. I'm not insulting anybody. Apostle Paul used it multiple times. He said, be not ignorant. What does that mean? When you're ignorant, it means you just don't know. You don't understand. Is that something that's terrible? Well, it can be. But praise the Lord, we don't have to be ignorant. Praise the Lord. When he says, be not ignorant, he's about to give us something to understand. He's about to give us a truth that's important for our lives. Hallelujah. So here in the book of 2 Kings, they find the book. Praise the Lord. And Shaphan reads it before the king. Verse 11 says, It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Imagine reading a book and it being such an impact that you decided to tear your clothes in half. Of course, the process or the practice of tearing your clothes, ripping it off, was about the most intense thing you could do as an example of your frustration, of your intense feelings. Because, you see, and it's not like this today, right? We can just go pick up clothes off the shelf. We can go even to the dollar store in Walmart. We can buy it for $5 a shirt. It wasn't like that. It was a lot more investment involved in their garments. It wasn't something that they had a ton of. It was expensive to do. And here they've chosen their garments, but they were so... Here Josiah is when he hears the words of the book. He says, this has changed my life. And he starts to rip and tear these clothes apart as an intense show that what I'm experiencing now, I'll never be the same. I can't just sit here and listen and not do anything. Can I tell you today, like Brother Gage said, we can't just sit here. When the word goes forth, Brother Kevin, it demands a response. Now, we can choose not to respond to the word, but that is not pleasing unto the Lord. Because when the word of the Lord goes forth, when the voice, just as if the voice of heaven came down among us and you heard it with your two ears, there is a response that is required from each and every one of us. The Bible says the sheep know his voice. Nothing's more frustrating as a parent or even as a kid when you say something out of desperation and nobody responds. Can you imagine the God of the universe who created the earth and stitched us together? And if he says something and we just sit there or we dismiss it, Oh, God forbid that his people that are called by his name, when they hear the word of God, don't pay attention or sit back and relax. Each and every one of us in our heart of hearts needs to rend our hearts, needs to say, this changes everything. The word of God changes everything. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to Josiah when he heard the word of God. He says, this changes it all. Nothing in this kingdom will ever be the same because of the word of God. It doesn't matter who previously knew about it. It doesn't matter what they decided to do or not do. I've been changed. So therefore, everything that I influence is going to be changed. I want the world to know the word of God lives inside of me. That it has changed me. That I'm no longer who I used to be. You see, I once was lost in sin. But Jesus came in. Oh, and the light of heaven filled my soul. I obeyed Acts 2:38. I received his spirit in my life. I will never, never, never be the same again. I'm not going to fit into the world. I'm always going to be different. There's nothing that in me should resemble the world in and of itself. Because of the word of God. And here Josiah tears his clothes because it's so intense. It's so life-changing. And in verse 19 it says, the Lord speaks. And he's got a, not only did they, it wasn't just the word, but it was a judgment. Kind of like the young people heard tonight. A little bit of a judgment or an admonition. But here in Israel, what took place was God was sending a warning. And he said, I'm going to judge this people for the idolatry, for ignoring the Sabbath, for going after the things of the world. I will judge them. And so that's why he rent his clothes. But in verse 19, the Lord said, because thine heart was tender, talking about Josiah, and thou wast humbled before the Lord. That's the appropriate response. Praise the Lord. If I find I've got a heart of stone, Lord, give me a heart of flesh. God, let me not live with a heart that is hardened, that the word of God doesn't touch and prick. Oh, God, give us a tender heart today. Let us be humble, therefore, before the Lord. And when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. That's what he did. He said, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful that when we respond to him, he responds to us. Hallelujah. I can raise my hands and I can glorify him. And guess what? I get to feel his presence. I get to feel the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. That's the kind of relationship that we have the opportunity to be a part of. Or we can have a hard heart. Or we can refuse to be humbled. But that's not what Josiah did. Hallelujah. And in chapter 23, it says, and the king sent, and he gathered him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. Oh, listen, guys. I've been changed. I got a testimony. Listen, we're going to get everybody together I can get. I got something you need to hear. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets. And the Bible says, and all the people, both small and great. Now let me ask you, who needs to respond to the word of God? All the people, both small and great. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter how you failed in life or you think you have. It doesn't matter if this is the first service that you've ever been to or this is the 1,000th service you've been to. All the people were gathered together to be able to respond to the word of the Lord, both small and great. And he read it in their ears. All the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord that we have a covenant. We have a promise. We have the word that we can go to. Because God has something for you. God has something for me. And I need to hear it today. What about you? Do you have that unction? Do you have your ear turned? Do you feel like that God has your ear today? Oh, I hope he does. Praise the Lord, because it makes all the difference. Hallelujah. I can walk in darkness, or I can hear the word of God. And I can walk in the light. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Does this make sense? Are you hearing what the word of God has for us today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He brought all of them. All the people, small and great. And he read all the words of the book of the covenant which were found in the house of the Lord. And the king, verse 3, stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. He made a promise to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart. This is what you need to do when it comes to responding to the word. It's not just something, how much can I get by with? What's the minimum requirement? No, he says with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of the covenant that are written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. That means they said, me too. That means they said, I receive it as well. When they stood upon the covenant, they said, I will respond. I will make a change. My life will never be the same. This changes everything in my life today. I hope you can say that the word of God changes everything in your life. Hallelujah. You know, when I'm wrong, I go to the word, or I find out in the word where I'm wrong, and I need to change. I don't skip over the pages. I don't cross it out. I don't say, well, that's for someone else. Oh, no. But when it comes to the word of God, it's got to change who I am from the inside out. Hallelujah. Oh, because he's good. His promises are everlasting. You see, the word of God, when he speaks to me, it changes everything. Hallelujah. And all the people stood to the covenant. What a beautiful story. And they go on, and I'm not going into it, but he went and he tore down all kinds of idolatrous things. I mean, he just cleaned house, if you will, because he responded to the word. Hallelujah. You know, what we know makes a difference. Previously, he didn't know the word. But once he knew it, it changed everything. So my question today is, what do we really know? And what do we really need to know? Hallelujah. There's some things, hallelujah, I've heard about, Brother Kevin, but I really don't know them. There's some things that I was talking to someone else about coal mining. I know we have a lot of coal miners or people with experience in the coal mines. I've never been in a coal mine, but I've heard enough about it. I feel like I was there. I've heard Brother Chris talk about it. I've heard Brother Forbes talk about it. I mean, we They're talking about penance stuff. They're talking about all kinds of, I can't even think of it right now, but they're talking about all these different things. Brother Vinoy back there knows what I'm talking about too. All the Vinoys, praise the Lord. But I feel like I'm there. But you know what? I haven't been there. I really don't know what it's like being in a coal mine. I feel like I do. And that's the way it is sometimes with the Word of God and the lessons that He teaches us. Sometimes we can just hear the Word, but we really don't receive it in our spirit. We really don't know in our heart of hearts what it's really like. And so what do we really need to know? What do we really need to know about God? First of all, what have you really learned from God? I've got three things. First of all, He is good. Can I tell you, He is good. And if you haven't come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says you must first believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But for those that have come and obeyed Acts 2:38, you have to understand that He's good. Oh, Brother Andy, I know He's good. We just sang it. Praise the Lord. Maybe we sing that for altar call. He is good all the time. Oh, but do you know that He's good? They did a great job. I'm not mocking them in any way. And but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, that He's the Father that gives good gifts. In Psalms 145 and 9, it says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Psalms 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Brother Kevin said it. Thought he was going to finish preaching the message. But you know what? Even when I have a tough day, even when the circumstances of my life really stink, He's still good. Even when I go through the toughest trials of my life, even when I don't understand what He's doing, I've got to know in my heart that I serve a God that is good. Oh, He's so good. He's more good than I've ever been, even to myself. He's good. He's a great Father. He knows and loves us. I'm telling you, oh, there's no evil in Him. He is good. I know that because of where He's taken me. I know that in the trials and the tests and the frustrations, I've learned a thing or two. And I'd have you be not ignorant today that my God is good. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you've learned that today. I hope, young person, that you can get that in your spirit. God is good. There's so many people, Brother Talisman, that I've seen that got frustrated with God. And they didn't believe that. They thought for one reason or another that God held back His best. That God allowed them to go through a terrible circumstance for some crazy reason. But it wasn't His goodness. That's what they believed. In fact, Adam and Eve, I believe, they thought God was holding back something that they wanted. The knowledge of good and evil. To make them wise, right? Wait a minute. Is God holding back from us? No. He gives good gifts. He knows what's better for us than we know about ourselves. You see, whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 60 years old, let me tell you that God is good. David had a lot of ups and downs. Even though he was anointed to be king, he ran for his life. If anybody wondered or tested or questioned if God is good, it could have been David, right? But he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." Oh, we love this verse, we hate this verse, but Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all," praise God, "that we know." Yes. The Word of God. God has told us. We don't have to be ignorant because we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I love Psalms 107. It's very repetitive, almost like Psalms 150. But it says in verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And you know what it says in verse 15? It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His works to the children of men." Maybe I need to repeat it again because it's in verse 21 and it's in verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Let me tell the congregation today, my God is good. All the time. Woo. There's not a time where I can point to anything but His goodness. My flesh may not like certain things, but He's good. Hallelujah. Romans 2 and 4 says, "Or despiseth thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It's because of His goodness that we are saved. That's what draws people. His Spirit, His goodness. And of course we read, "Oh, taste and see." Oh, if we can just get someone to the house of the Lord. If we can invite somebody to come. Hallelujah. In the outreach. Let me tell you, you don't have to apologize. Because when God shows up, He's good. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you testify to the fact that God has been good to you? That's one thing I know. The other thing is I know the love of God. I know in 1 John 3 and 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not." You're not going to fit in, young person. The world doesn't know you. Not if the word has changed your life. Let me tell you, the scripture says the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Are you thankful for the love of God tonight? Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2. "For I have determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What are you talking about? I'm talking about the love of God. I'm saying compared to anything else in this world, you've got to know that Jesus Christ was crucified. Hallelujah. You've got to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the love of God. Everything changes when you know the love of God. Hallelujah. You see, I can know about God, but when I know His love for me, that changes everything. Hallelujah. When the Word says that He loves me, when I find out that He died for my sins, that I could be saved, that changes everything. The love of God. Hallelujah. Yes, we know it, right? It's Word. We hear it in Sunday school, but do you know it in your heart tonight that God loves you? That He died for you, that He wants you to be His bride today. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't know the love of God, if you haven't learned the love of God, this is the place to understand and to learn. When you sit under godly men and women who are teaching the Word of God, When you listen to our pastor preach, you will start to understand more and more and more. When you get in the book and you realize all the things that he has done for you, when you realize that he didn't leave you to die in your sins, that he sought you, he bought you, and he's brought you out because of his love for you. Oh, it changes everything when you know he loves you. Hallelujah. And then the other thing that I know, and there's a lot of things that we can talk about, right? But these three things are life-changing. These things are those things that will transform who you are if you can really digest them and let them grow in your spirit. It's to know that he is good. To know the love of God, and to know that you belong to him. You belong to him. You are his, praise the Lord. Let me tell you that in your relationship with the Lord, he's not interested in just weekend visits. He's not interested in just your lip service, but he wants you 100% of the time. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your spirit today. Oh, when you know that you belong to the Lord, it changes everything. I remember, Brother Kevin, as I was, I remember going through some really bad back pain. I was just miserable. And I remember I believe I was taking a shower, and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I was reminded that I belong to God. That this back that's causing me all this pain, it's not mine. I'm bought with a price. It belongs to him. And in the middle of some terrible pain, I reached up and I asked the Lord, I said, would you heal your back, God? Just heal your back. It belongs to you. Would you heal it? And all of a sudden, like a hot, I don't know, flow, waterfall came over me from the top of my head, down my back, through my legs. And all of a sudden, the pain was gone. And I was able to move clearly because I knew that I belonged to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, I knew that he was good. I knew the love of God he had for me. And then I found out that I belong to him. Oh, when you belong to him, everything changes. You see, your money, yes, even your money belongs to him. Your children, your family belong to him. Your career, your aspirations belong to him. Your dreams, everything you have. If you'll give it to Jesus, he'll take it. And let me tell you that you will walk in a deeper light. You will walk in greater power once you know that you belong to him. Oh, this society, this world doesn't understand that, right? They think you're your own person and that you shouldn't depend on anybody but yourself. That it's all about you and what you want to do. But let me tell you today, I belong to him. And I hope you understand that, and I hope you learn that. Because I'd have you not be ignorant today. But if you will become his, if you will say, Lord, I belong to you, if you will learn the love of God, and you will submit unto him, you will walk in greater anointing. You will walk in greater favor. Because it's not your mission, it's his mission that you're living for. 1 John 3:24 says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Psalms 103, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. Here it is. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto works, which God hath before he ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you today, there's nothing like knowing the knowing that God is good. There's nothing like knowing that he loves you and knowing the love of God in your life. This world will tell you the worst lies in the world. The enemy will come and tell you that God has no more interest in you, that you've already messed up enough that he's put you aside. But let me tell you, if you know the love of God, it will transform your life. That even when I'm not on the top of the mountain, even when I'm suffering in the low places of my life, I know that he loves me. And I know that I belong to him. Praise the Lord. And it changes everything. Can you say amen? Amen. It changes everything. So Paul, he wrote in Romans 10 and 3 about be ye not ignorant. And the Bible says the Jews were ignorant of the righteousness of God. In chapter 11, verse 25, he talked, be not ignorant. And he was referring to the salvation through the grafting in and the blindness of the Jews. Be not ignorant. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, he said, be not ignorant. And he spoke of the baptism of Moses, how that they walked through the Red Sea and they were in the cloud. And there was a spiritual rock that followed them where they drank from. And he said, be not ignorant. Don't you know that was Christ? That was Christ. Be not ignorant. He was saying, don't you know I've set up all these types and shadows of baptism, of experience, water baptism in Jesus' name, spirit-filled baptism, speaking in other tongues. And I've made this over here so you can be not ignorant. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to be ignorant of the spiritual things. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, be not ignorant. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to that right now. I want to spend a minute there. 1 Corinthians, praise the Lord, chapter 12. And this is what pastor's been teaching a little bit. I don't think I'm stepping on it too much, but I think it kind of goes with it. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He says in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Do you think the Lord wants us to know something? Do you think the Lord wants us to experience something? Not just read it, not just hear it, but to respond to it with our lives? Let me tell you that the Word of God says, be not ignorant. So that means to me, I need to get it in my spirit. I need to understand some things about the Word of God. And here, be not ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, that ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto the dumb idols, even as you were led. And then he goes on and he talks about the differences of administration, but the same Lord. He talks about the same Spirit. He says we've got diversity of gifts, and they're given to different men, different people severally, but it's one Spirit. Let me tell you today that we need each and every one of you in the kingdom of God. We need every one of you in the body of Christ. Be not ignorant. Don't let the world tell you that you don't need to come to the house of the Lord or be a part of the body of Christ. Be not ignorant today concerning spiritual gifts. But there is more work. You know, there's 8 billion people out in the world. There's probably less than a billion people that we know of that have the Holy Ghost. There are 7 billion people that need the Holy Ghost. There are 7 billion people that need to hear this gospel. Let me tell you, you've got work to do. I don't know how God is going to do it in your life, but let me tell you, he needs you in the field. He needs you to know something about spiritual gifts. He needs you to know some things and to be not ignorant. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I don't think anybody wants to wander around in the dark. I don't think anybody wants to be ignorant. But the Spirit of God warns us so that we understand and we seek the knowledge of God. And I understand that you can become puffed up because of knowledge. And that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about knowing the love of God, knowing the goodness of God, and knowing that you belong to Him tonight. There's more work than you and I can accomplish. You are needed here today. And the people that you win to the Lord tomorrow are needed in the kingdom today. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, it says, we trust in a God that delivers us from the death sentences that Paul referred to. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He's talking about forgiveness at the beginning, and then he says, lest Satan get an advantage. Let me tell you that that device that the devil uses, it's talking about the purpose of his mind, the evil purposes of the enemy. He's out there trying to get an advantage. He's got a plan for you that's opposite of the plan that God has for you today. Hallelujah. And so you and I should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Understand that there's an enemy out there that's ready to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I tell you there's a culture out there that would just as well like us to be stoned out of our minds. They would just as well help us. They would want us to be so caught up in the drama of television or the drama of celebrities so that we know nothing about the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, be not ignorant today, because my God has an answer for you. My God is wants you to get something in your spirit that will change your life forever. Be not ignorant and understand today that God is good. Understand that He loves you and understand that you belong to Him today. Hallelujah. The enemy comes in, he fights, he tries to deceive us, but be not ignorant of his plans. Be not ignorant of his evil purposes or his devices. Hallelujah. So in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, be not ignorant. And he's talking about those that are asleep, right? And he says, for those that have no hope. Praise the Lord for hope. Praise the Lord that we're not ignorant, that we have hope today. In Acts 4:13, and I'm wrapping it up, if we can get some music to come, praise the Lord. Acts 4:13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Now wait a minute. Peter knew something. They didn't know what Peter knew. They didn't know what the apostles knew. But when they looked at them, they perceived them to be ignorant and unlearned. Let me tell you, sometimes the world will look at you and your lifestyle and your choices, and they'll say, look at those unlearned and ignorant people. But it doesn't stop there. It says they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You can call me whatever you want. You can make a judgment over my intelligence. You can make a judgment on what you think I know and what I don't know. But one thing I wanted to be clear is that I have been with the Lord. Oh, that someone would know that I have a connection in the Holy Ghost. The one thing that I have to communicate with my life is that I they be in the time of your outpouring. And that's what it took place. When the time when they had just seen that miracle, when the supernatural gifts were being taken place, the world may look at you as ignorant. Oh, but what you need to show and testify of, it makes all the difference in the world. I'm not saying rent your clothes. I'm saying rend your hearts. I'm saying serve God with everything inside of you and let the word of God change who you are. Let it be a testimony. Have that joy in your heart. Have that knowledge to know and they can see that you have been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, they don't need to know what I know. They just need to know that I've been with the Lord. And then they can learn that he's good. That he loves us. And that we belong to him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of him that they had been with Jesus. And verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Your testimony. When you stand and you say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Let me tell you what I walked in darkness. I walked around not understanding the love of God. But today, right here at Praise Temple Apostolic Church, I know a few things. And I know that I've been with the Lord. And let me tell you, you can't fight against the testimony of what God has done for me. Hallelujah. And this world can't say anything against your testimony because it happened to you. Can you stand tonight? I believe God is here in a powerful and a mighty way. And I'm just wondering if somebody would like to know that they know that God is good. I wonder if somebody in their spirit says, you know, Brother Jones, I think I know the love of God, but I really, really want to know the love of God. I want to know that he loves me even when I've made a mistake, even when I've failed, even when things didn't go my way. I want to know it. And then when I need to know that I belong to him and he belongs to me. Hallelujah. Oh, that's commitment today. That's commitment. When the outpouring, when the supernatural gifts take place in our lives, the world may look at you as ignorant, but are they going to know, whew, that you've been with Jesus? Hallelujah. I've got a testimony that I've been with the Lord today. Hallelujah. Would you come around the front? Would you glorify his name? Would you seek his face just for a few minutes? Let's worship just for a moment. Let's just recognize his goodness here in this place. Recognize that he is faithful and that he loves you.